You know, there's a slope on Long's Peak in Colorado where lies the ruins of a huge tree. Naturalists say that it stood there for over 400 years. It's weathered thousands of storms. It's been hit by lightning 14 times that they can tell. And in the end, it was destroyed by an army of beetles. Not the yeah, yeah, yeah kind. You know, the little kind. This tremendous giant that age had not withered, that lightning had not blasted, that storms had not subdued, fell at last before beetles so small you can crush them between your thumb and forefinger. And it was destroyed by a tiny little bug. Yet it had weathered all these great storms. And we might expect the big things to derail our faith, but I've got to tell you, very often it's the little things that get under our skin and derail our faith, isn't it? Yeah. And we can often join with Solomon. Solomon writes in Song of Songs 2, verse 15, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. Now, big things can knock your faith around too. But you sort of, you can see them and you can sort of prepare for it. It's the little ones that get in your head and run around and start to sap your joy, as Kenny talked about in his word there, that, you know, they're cracks. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. So one of the worst little foxes, which is a lot nastier than it appears, is worry. Now, if you ask any Australian, how's it going? They will say, of course, no worries. But we're lying. Because there are worries. Every one of us, every single one of us has worries. If you're a Disney fan, and I'm sure there's one or two still left, you'll recognise from the Lion King, Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata, you know. And it means no worries for the rest of your day. So they sing this little song, but it's being sung by a warthog and what's the other thing? Yeah, one of those. And they're full of worries because no one likes them. And so they're singing this song, oh, there's no worries. We just live a life of no worries. But they actually have worries. They're fooling themselves. Now, often we excuse worry as something that's necessary because we have a reason to worry. We say, you know, it's okay to get worried because what I'm worried about is our finances or our home or our kids or whatever it, or my job or whatever, or moving into state or whatever it is. It's big. We should worry about that because that's really big. But not everything that weighs you down is yours to carry. So how can we deal with it? I want to look at Jacob in Genesis. Now, Jacob was a guy who really wrestled with worry. If you've got a Bible, please open to Genesis 32. If you've got our app, all the notes are there, all the verses are there as well. You can keep your own notes there if you open the app. It's under the Messages tab. Now, Jacob was a real worrywart. Now, he's a guy who, remember, Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob. So he's right back, you know, it's a long time ago, right back at the start. And Jacob was always a bit of a schemer. He always had an angle that he was working. And many years before, he had left his brother Esau. His father had sent him to go and get a wife in another place. But he left his brother, but not before he cheated his brother out of his father's blessing. And Esau at the time had vowed to kill him. Now, years later in Genesis 32, he's heading home with his new family, with all of his newfound wealth, and he's fearful and he's worrying about what his brother will do to him. Because his brother said, I'm going to kill him. And now many times you say that and it's not intended, is it? I'm going to kill this, you know. Someone said to my wife one time, haven't you ever thought about divorce? She said, no, I've never thought about divorce. I've thought about murder plenty of times, but not divorce. So we do think this way. We say, I'm going to kill you, but we don't actually mean it. Genesis 32, verse 10. Jacob is praying here. I'm not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. For only with my staff I crossed the Jordan, and now I have become two camps. He'd been prospered while he was away. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, Lord, you said, I will surely do you good. I will make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he's praying here. He's off to a good start. He's saying, like, okay, Esau's going to be a problem. I can see that coming. I'm worried about it. Lord, you've given me a promise. and he stands on that promise. Well, at first, Jacob seems to turn his worry over to God. That's a really good prayer. He prays for deliverance. But the very next morning, Jacob wakes up with a plan. Clearly, he worried all night about this. Now, sometimes we pretend to trust God when we're really harboring worry. We even convince ourselves that we're not worrying but trusting, but then we hatch a plan just in case God messes up. Am I the only one? Yes, thank you. You know, we say, Lord, I give it to you. It's over to you. I'm not going to struggle with this. I'm going to give it to you. But what happens? We turn around and all of a sudden, and just in case you mess up, I've got this backup plan here, plan B. You see, worry will knock on your door right after you've gotten off your knees. One moment you might be pouring your heart out to God. You feel, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to hand it over to you. I'm not going to worry about it. But you get off your knees and the first thing you do is you worry. So today I implore you, don't let the cares of this world hold you captive. What is worry? How does it hold you captive? How can you deal with it? And what can any of us do when worry knocks? I heard it once said, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered, there was no one there. I love that. I think that's really cool. Now, for most of us, fear knocks at the door. We answer it and say, come on in, have a cup of tea. We're going to entertain our fear. And we've got to stop. We've got to hand it over to God in faith, because when faith opens the door, fear is not there. So what is worry? Well, let's be honest. Worry affects all of us. We're human beings. We're built for worry. It's our default position. We cannot seem to control. How many of you are like me? You say, right, I'm not going to worry about this. You go to bed not worrying about, I'm not going to worry about this. And all you do is you obsess on the fact you're not going to worry about it till you worry about it. Am I the only one? There's a few of you out there. Yes. It's our default position. So what is worry? What actually is it? What does it look like? Well, number one, worry is lack of trust. When you trust someone completely, you forfeit the right to worry. It simply doesn't fit. A child will jump fearlessly into your arms because they believe absolutely that you will catch them. I was just watching Cole, my grandson over here. He just dived off a seat and Kira caught him by the foot and he finished up upside down. Now that takes a bit of courage, folks. Anyone here want to dive off a seat head first and hope that someone catches your foot? You see, it never enters his mind that he's going to not be caught because he's a child and he trusts his mum, rightly so. See, people don't worry about things if trust is there. That's why Solomon wisely said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Our problem is we keep leaning on our own understanding. And it doesn't hold us up. Jacob told God he trusted him. And he did. But then he slept on it and devised schemes and plans. He leant on his own limited, suspicious understanding. And I can attest to you, the more you trust God, the less you worry. Can anybody here attest to that? So worry is actually lack of trust. The second thing worry is a waste of time. Worry is like a rocking horse. Keeps your mind occupied. You feel like you're moving, but you don't move anywhere. You go back and forward on the same spot. How many of you know you've spent a whole night worrying about something, you get up in the morning, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, except you're tireder. See, you don't actually get anywhere. Worry fills your thoughts. It permeates every part of your mind. Psalm 37, verse 8, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. The more you fret, the more evil is tended. Luke 12, and which of you can, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? You can't do that. I can't make my life go for longer. I can't do that. Only God can do that. Why am I worried about that? I can't even affect it. The more you fret, the more you worry, the result is only evil. Experts tell us that 91.4, I don't know how they got this figure, but anyway, some survey they did, 91.4% of everything we worry about never happens. Most of what we worry about never happens. And if it does happen, it happens in a lot better way than what we concocted in our head. It's a waste of time, energy, and resources. William Shakespeare said this. Now, I think it's pretty classy we've got a bit of Shakespeare in here, just saying. William Shakespeare said this, present fears are less than horrible imaginings. Is that true? It's often worse than what we worry. A Swedish proverb says this, worry often gives small things a big shadow. The more you worry, the more little things become bigger things because it's in your head. So it's a waste of time. Thirdly, worry is a health hazard. Was reminded of, remember the back in the days when people used to, when we had advertising for cigarettes? And they always used to finish, medical authorities warn that worry is a health hazard. Do you remember that? Well, WebMD tells us that worry causes stress, anxiety, long-term release of cortisol, a stress hormone that can result in everything from high blood pressure to strokes to diabetes. Who wants any of those? No, thank you. So why do we worry and compound that whole situation? Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And sometimes, you know, I've felt this over the last week, weighed down with stress, weighed down with all the cares of the world, all the cares of running the church and everything else. And some of you here are weighed down today with stress, with anxiety, with worry. And I believe that the Lord today will set you free. Fiona's been running a women's group called Get Out of Your Head. What a great title. Because most of this stuff happens in your head. The more we think about it, the more we toss it over, and the more we think about it actually magnifies anxiety, and we need to deal with that. We really do. It's a health hazard. Fourthly, worry is a wrestle. In Genesis 32, 24, it says this, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until, excuse me, until you bless me. So Jacob was wrestling with God. How many of you know that at times we wrestle with God? Am I the only one? No, that's good. I'm looking around. Everybody's looking quite guilty at me. They're kind of saying, yeah, just you. Not me, just you. But Jacob wrestled with God all night, and the Lord dislocated his hip because a sore hip would remind him of who he had wrestled with. And many of us wrestle with worry night after night. How many of us do that? We worry night after night. We wrestle, we toss and we turn and we think about stuff in our head and it gets worse and worse and bigger. And I often find myself, even if I've convinced myself that I'm not worried, wrestling with God into the early hours of the morning. I toss, I turn, I listen to God, I resist, and then I do it all over again. You know, let's call it what it really is. It's really worry, folks. Because you know what trust would say? If the Lord speaks to you, you know what trust would say? Yes, Lord, and roll over and go to sleep. But not this little black duck. No, no, he wants to toss it around. He wants to have an argument about it. I remember when I was called to be a pastor of this church back in the day. It was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. It really was. I was running 100 miles from being a pastor. And I really felt the Lord say, you need to do this. And I said, no, I don't. And I actually spoke with a leader, and she said, if you don't do this, there'll be like a pastor-shaped hole in your heart and in your ministry because God's calling you to do it. And I wrestled with God. I wrestled with it because I wanted to be sure. And, you know, I'm glad I said yes. I hope you are. You know, but trust would say yes, right? And I think some of us need to stop wrestling with God of a night and just say yes, Lord, and roll over and go to sleep. Because this stuff runs around in our head. So let me ask you the question, is worry a sin? Many people say worry's a sin. And the problem is, if you say worry's a sin, it's a bit harsh, I think. But if you say that, you're not consciously controlling it. So if I tell you that worry is a sin, you're going to be worried about the fact that you're sinning. And then you'll worry about the fact that you're still worried about the fact that you're worrying about sin. And so it goes on. Corrie ten Boom brilliantly said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. And worry can cripple you, even a believer. If you don't give this stuff to God, it will cripple your life, your ministry. It'll cripple your marriage. It'll cripple your relationships with your kids and with your friends. Worry, it looks small. Oh, you know, everybody worries. But I think the Lord is speaking to us today about this. Jesus didn't actually call worry a sin, even though it clearly is. It's lack of trust, so therefore it's a sin, okay? But Jesus was not condemning. He was insistent, though. He said, don't worry. Not because it's sin, but because you have to trust that God sees you as being worthy of his provision. You see, if you can't trust God, chances are you don't think God sees you as valuable. And you are so valuable to him. You are so valuable, he sent the most precious thing in the universe to him, his own son, to die in your place. That's how valuable you are. We need to see ourselves as valuable. Because if we are, we can trust God. The more we trust him, the less we will worry. Matthew 6, Jesus said this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You need to see yourself as someone who's worthwhile. And if you have had a life where people have put you down, or you've gone through situations or relationships where someone has rubbished you, you need to not believe that. Because when God looks at you, he sees someone who is valuable. Every single person on the face of the earth is valuable to God. And God loves a drunk passed out on the street outside here as much as our mayor, whoever they may be. We're not sure yet. God loves us all. And he sees value in all of us. Are you not more valuable than they? See, God cares about you and he doesn't want you to worry. Not because he's telling you it's a sin. He doesn't want you to worry because he knows it'll cripple you and cripple your relationships. I think this is the day we need to be set free from that, don't you? Because some of us here, our whole lives are being controlled by something that's out of control. So, how can we possibly, in this day and age, with so much going wrong in our world, how can we possibly not worry? You know, we just did a series on end times. You look at that stuff, you think, man, it's all shaping up. You can see it happening around you. You can see the pieces being moved into place. We are in the last days, folks. I don't know when Jesus comes back, but I want to be there. You know, and I don't think it's too far away. It's shaping up for the showdown. But don't get worried about it. Just trust God because he loves you. Now, what is the antidote for worry? Dare I say it, what's the vaccine for worry? It's not Pfizer or any of those things. This is a vaccine with zero side effects. Jacob said he believed God, but then he worried and he wrestled and he schemed anyway. He struggled with worry and anxiety, and it affected every aspect of his life, even into old age. Now, Kenny delivered a word for us earlier, and I think it's really from the Lord, talking about cracks. Let me expand on that. Author Arthur Summers Rush said this, worry, now I love this imagery. This is incredible because it really speaks to me about what happens in my head. I'm not in your head, but maybe in your head it happens a little bit like mine. Listen to this. Worry is like a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all thoughts are drained. Isn't that incredible? Because I'm telling you, when I start worrying about stuff, everything I look at is channeled through that. It really is. I love that quote. It's incredible. So rather than waste our life, let's discover how we can overcome worry and anxiety in our life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, I want you to be free of anxieties. Look, you can't stop the waves of worry, but you can learn to surf them. How do we surf? What's the antidote to worry? You know, I was in the surf on the Gold Coast a couple of days ago, and I realized that if you stand there, this wave's going to bowl you over. It's going to wipe you out. They're pretty big waves. But if you surf it, you don't get wiped out, unless you could do something wrong. So I don't know about you, but I'd like to be on top of the circumstances rather than under the circumstances. You say to people, how are you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. What are you doing under there? You should be above the circumstances. You don't want to be under there. So is anyone with me? We want to be above the circumstances. So what's the antidote to worry? The antidote to worry is to grow the opposite of worry, which is trust. If you trust, you don't worry. If you worry, you don't trust. So I'm going to use the letters of trust to give you the antidote for worry. And here's some ideas on how you, and I think God will speak to many of you on some, if not all, of these areas on how you can transform your life from worry to victory. It's all about trust. First of all, the first T is for time out. If you are consumed by worry, if you are battling with your brain at night, sometimes the best thing you can do is to take some time out. I have to confess, I've been overwhelmed over the last few weeks. We've had all sorts of very sort of highfalutin financial stuff going on, lawyers and insurance companies and people arguing back and forth and people nibbling in each ear, and it's just done my head in. It's like walking in trigger. It's so hard to get a resolution here. And I've been absolutely overwhelmed over the last week or so. And I felt the Lord was saying to me, take some time out to clear your head. Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to just stop and rest. Leonie shared that around community. Just stop and rest. I am terrible at this. I say to the Lord, okay, I can give you 5 minutes for rest, but after that I've got to, you know, that's not rest. Am I the only one? No, yes, thank you. Some apparently have more time than I. And for me, if you know anything about my life, my happy place is in my music studio, so I go in there and I record stuff, and that's my happy zone. And I found when I was so overwhelmed and my head was so foggy in this last week, and Fiona said, I'm really worried about you because you're not even making sense. I was so overwhelmed by all of these finances and hundreds of thousands of dollars they're talking about and all this sort of stuff. Well, I tell you what, in the middle of it, I went into my studio for a couple of hours and my head cleared because I was in a happy place. You need to find a happy place, something you can do that brings you joy. For some people, it's craft. For other people, it's you know, watching movies. It doesn't matter what it is, but you've got to rest sometimes. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to stop and rest, and I preach to myself there. So that's the first one, T. R is for remember. Remember how the Lord has come through for us in the past. How many times has God come through for you, even before you knew him? How many times has God come through for you? Listen to this verse. My favorite verse, as I get older, and I am getting older. I know you don't believe that, but I do. Say to people, age is compulsory, but maturity is optional. So I'm getting older, but not necessarily more mature. But listen to Psalm 37, verse 25. This means so much to me right now. I was young, but now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. In all of my years, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. In all the years that I've ever seen. In my life, in the life of this church, on so many occasions, the Lord has come through for us. We have seen him provide in this church alone hundreds of thousands of dollars when we needed it. For Lily House, we've seen unbelievable provision that he's provided. You might remember the story we tell it often about when the church wanted to move in here. We needed to sell our old property. And a guy that we had never met before came out and viewed Lily House and said, I'd like to write you a check for $700,000. No strings attached. Now that's just God, folks. But we've seen him do it time and time and time and time again. When we renovated Lily House, we had a couple of $100,000 outstanding debt, and a guy we've never met and never heard of left us $212,000 in his will. That's God. I can't take glory for that, either can you. That's just God. We've seen God do it so often. He's performed miracle after miracle. He's provided healing when we need it. He's given us favor. He's never let me down. How about you? Remember how he saved you? Remember how he provided for you, even when all else was lost? He's never let you down, despite how you feel at times. Sometimes we look at him and we say, God's let me down. And yeah, we feel that sometimes. Fiona and I went through a period when we lost everything. Everything we built up over 20 years, we lost in an instant. And yet I knew, even in the midst of such a trial, I knew that God would never let me down. I just knew. And so I had faith. And so he's never let us down. And I believe if you look at your life, how many times have you made a dumb decision and suffered for it, for your own decision, but God has brought you through and he's brought you to this place at this time. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest for your righteousness. How do you become generous? You just start blessing people with your money, and guess what? God starts providing more to you. I can't explain it, but I walk that walk every day. God is a good God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Psalm 9 verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of his wonderful deeds. We need to remember God's goodness and have a gratitude attitude, don't we? Have a look at yourself. Do you have a roof over your head? You're blessed more than many, many people in the world. Do you have food on the table? You're blessed beyond comparison. Do you have a vehicle of some sort? God's blessed you. Let's focus on the blessing and not worry about all the other stuff. So that's the second one. U is for unburden yourself. Worry is always a burden. It weighs you down. It sucks out your joy. And think of it this way. If you are walking in the bush, you're going to a camp, and you've got a heavy pack on, and they say, okay, we're going to take 5 minutes break before we keep going again, what's the first thing you do? You drop the pack. Why should you carry that burden? You're having a break. And God's asking you this morning to drop your pack. He doesn't want you carrying it. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you become a Christian, do all your burdens cease? No. There's lots of stuff you need to continue to bear. But he makes a yoke that you can bear. You see, if a yoke is ill-fitting, it rubs and it creates sores, and an ox cannot pull a cart of great weight because the yoke is ill-fitting. But if a yoke fits, he can pull with a great weight because it doesn't rub and doesn't make him sore. God will give you burdens that will fit you, and he will give you the strength to go on if you unburden yourself. And part of unburdening yourself is sharing the load of worry with close friends. Have you thought of that? The things you're worried about, do you talk to people about it? You know, we live in a society where we would rather go and get a mental health care plan and talk to a professional than just talking to a mate. But that shouldn't be. We should be able to share our worries and our hurts and our struggles with the people around us. You don't get a prize, by the way, for carrying it all the way with yourself. God doesn't say, well done, you carried all that load by yourself. Because he's saying to you, share the thing. Reach out, share it with other people. Even better, talk to Tanya and Leonie and others here who do the inner healing. Because we're finding that people are carrying burdens their whole life. And that through our inner healing ministry, they're able to offload those burdens. And it will make a difference to how you live. You're not built, some burdens you are not built to carry. And you must not continue, persist carrying them. The S in trust is for seek first his kingdom. Matthew 6, Jesus said this, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I can absolutely attest to this. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, if you seek to serve him first, the other stuff gets dealt with. It just does. I'm not making this stuff up. But rather than worry about, you know, what I'm going to wear or what I'm going to eat and all the things that we worry about in life, if we seek first his kingdom, if we just serve Jesus, All this stuff seems to get taken care of. I stand as a testament to that verse. We need to worry less and pray more, because worry changes nothing, but prayer changes everything. As we heard said Mary said up here before, prayer changes everything. My experience is that if I seek first the kingdom of God, many of the worries seem to disappear or at least shrink down in size. And the actual situation may not have changed, but its power to fill and manipulate my mind is broken. Serve God first and let him sort out the rest. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Arguments and lofty opinions, there are tons of that stuff out there. Get off Facebook. Because on Facebook, what do you get? Opinions and lofty arguments. Yeah, I mean, goodness, people have an opinion on everything, even if it doesn't affect them. And you can read tons of that negative stuff and put that negative stuff in your head. But the Bible says whatever is wholesome, whatever is worth, all of that stuff, think about those things. But we fill our mind with dumb stuff. There will always be arguments as to why we should worry. There will always be opinions. But any stray thought that comes into our mind, we should take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. You can choose. You can choose whether you'll capture a negative, worrisome thought or whether you'll entertain it. It's your choice. Oh, but, you know, life's been really hard to me and this, that. No, no, no. You can choose. It's your choice. When we choose to serve God and others, we rob worry of its power in our life. And if it pops up somewhere, just capture that sucker and bring it under Christ. Because we can choose. I told this story earlier. I just love this story. A certain three-year-old who shall remain nameless was upset because her sister wouldn't play a game her way. Fiona used this in her women's meeting during the week. I just loved it so much. So Fiona said, well, you can't make people play your way, so you can play by yourself and you can choose whether to be happy or to be sad. She thought for a moment. She said, I choose sad. But how many times have we done that, folks? We say, okay, I can choose not to worry. I can choose to trust God. I choose worry. I choose sad. We can choose, folks. You might say, well, my problems are so big. Everything that's going on is so huge. I can't control this thing. No, but he can. I'm not asking you to control it. I'm asking you to lay it at the foot of the cross and choose to give control of your worry to Jesus. The T in trust, the last T is to turn it over to God. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties means to pray and give your worries to God. Hand them to him, stand back and walk away. If you give your concerns to him, don't take it back. When you give him your worries, you forfeit the right to worry. And you hand the burden to God. And last I saw, he's big enough to handle it. But that word is actually a little bit unfortunate. Cast your anxieties on him. Because I think cast, that's what most of us do. I think fishing, right? Here you go, Lord. Here's my worries. Oh, I've still got it. That's what we do. Do we not do that? Here's my worries, Lord. Over to you. I'm casting it out to you. And then we do that. And we reel it back in. And we do it all again. The Greek word for cast is the word epiripto, which means to throw or place something. And it does not mean to bring it back. That's the wrong meaning. It means to throw it or place it and walk away. The longer you entertain this worry in your head, the more power you give it. So give it to God in prayer and don't snatch it back. I've got to tell you, I think worries are potholes on your faith journey. Do you like that picture? That's actually a road in South Africa, for our South African friends. That's why you live here. And it looks like a road I encountered in the Solomons as well. Worries are the potholes on your faith journey. Proverbs 3 says, we mentioned this before, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Worries are like potholes. God builds faith slowly but surely. He doesn't throw you in the deep end and expect you to get stuff. He adds miracle upon miracle and he builds your faith over time. And over time your faith is strengthened on a lifelong journey. Our worries increase when we struggle to trust the Lord and instead we fall back on leaning on our own understanding. But we've got to remember that little analogy, T-R-U-S-T, trust. Take time out, remember the Lord's blessing, unburden yourself, seek first his kingdom, and finally, turn it over to God and stand back. Prayer is how you turn it over to God. And then he gives us a promise. I want to finish with this, Philippians 4. Verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious. Everybody say, do not be anxious. That's what he's saying. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the kicker. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. If your mind is open to all of this stuff and you are struggling in your mind, night after night, if worry is consuming you, if worry is sitting there in the background ready to make a reappearance, it's like malaria. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Just sits there in your bloodstream, pops up when you least expect it. That's what worry is like. And if that is happening, you need to guard your heart and your mind because this stuff will not only ruin your ministry, it will ruin your life. It is the potholes on the road to faith. It really is. And I believe that God wants us to unburden ourselves. Worry does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. What are you worried about today? What's stealing the peace in your heart? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about finances, about your home, about a job? Are you worried about your kids? Do you stay awake at night rehearsing every decision you've made or every conversation you've had? Do you do that? I have some brilliant replies to things people have said to me, and I usually get them at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't get them at the moment. I would love to be that witty, but I'm not. I'm half that witty. And I would love to come up with these snappy ideas, but I think of them like hours later because my head ruminates on them. I believe that today is the day you can be set free from the burden, the weight, the stress of worry. It is time to let it go, let it go. Having a Disney morning, really. Today is the day that worry gets replaced by peace, the peace that passes all understanding. But it comes down to a choice. You can sit here and say, oh, this message is not for me. I'm not that worried. But I want you to take a few moments and examine your heart. Because I think God, I have asked the Lord, I said, I want an anointing here to set people free from this debilitating disease called worry. And some of you here on the outside, you look fantastic, but inside it's just churning you up. This is your moment. I tell you, I confess to you, worry is something I struggle with. And I struggle with it, not from the point of view of I don't trust God, it just overwhelms me at times. There's just too many moving parts. And I can't even think straight at times. So I am standing here saying, yes, Lord, I want to be set free from this. Because I believe there's going to be anointing here to set you free. Don't struggle with worry. It will destroy you. It is a pothole on the road to true faith. You've got to fill in those potholes. Let's pray together. First of all, some of you here may not even know the Lord. You may not even be sure that you're a Christian. Maybe you're interested. Maybe you're sort of like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But I cannot let this meeting finish. The answer to our worries, the way to solve worry, the way to get peace in your heart is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever given your life to the Lord? Maybe you have in the past. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you prayed a prayer before, but you're not sure. Today is the day we make sure. Today is the day we say, Lord, I just want to give it to you because I do not want worry to overcome my life. If you've never asked Jesus into your life or you're not sure, then this first bit is for you. Just pray this prayer with me. And together we'll ask the Lord into your life. Just say this with me. It's so simple. I'm not going to bring you forward. It's going to be a simple process, but we want you to live a life of victory, not to be consumed by worry and doubt, which most of the world is. So just say these words with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my sin to you. I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my worries and fears.